It is in the New Testament section of the Bible, and it's on page 174. And could you turn to it? Because I would like you to read verse 26 when I get to verse 26 together. So, 174 in the New Testament section of the Bible, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting from verse 12. But at verse 26, I would like all of us to read together, okay? Test your alertness. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the bodies in the body, the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. I'll read that again. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." Nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. The word of the Lord.
Try to get us to work together. But it's hard to work together. One of the most fascinating and controversial books published in 2000 was by Robert Putnam, a Harvard political scientist, called Bowling Alone. And he made an interesting discovery. More and more people are bowling every year, but fewer and fewer people are bowling in leagues. Now, perhaps you're not a bowler. Maybe you're a roller skate hockey guy like me. I go to the YMCA and I play roller hockey on the night when it's a free-for-all. You come and it's a lot of fun. And several times, I think because of my age, because I'd be the oldest guy there, they said, "Why don't you join a team?" And I go, "Oh, but if I join a team, I'd have to show up on a regular basis. It's much more fun to come when it's convenient for me, not convenient for my team." So whether you roller hockey alone or bowl alone, a phenomenon on modern society is we are becoming less and less committed to each other. Now, Putnam says this has serious implications. He has this idea of social capital. And I'd like to paraphrase him today and talk about spiritual capital. There's a certain amount of spiritual capital, social capital we need. And Putnam says there's two kinds of social or spiritual capital. One is bonding. And bonding is when you hang out with people just like you, your friends. Now the church is a place of bonding. But once bonding happens, then the next stage is bridging. And that is, how do you reach out beyond people just like you to others? And societies can't function without bonding and bridging. And what he's finding as he looks around the world, there is less bonding and less bridging going on. Now, my mother's 70-something, and she occasionally recommends I read a book. And usually I do not read my mother's recommendations. I don't know. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. But there is a book that she is reading that really has her worried. It's called I Love Jesus, But I Hate the Church. And it's written about how do we reach people under 30. And what the author, Kimball, is finding out that more and more people are willing to make a commitment to Jesus, but fewer and fewer want to make a commitment to any sort of organized expression of Christ's followers, be it a Bible study or a church. Bowling alone. Well, Paul was facing a situation like that. The church at Corinth was very, very divided, very, very diverse. There were intellectuals, there were powerful people, there were what scholars call the spiritual people. There were all these different groups vying for, hopefully, a common purpose. And Paul has to call them back to that common purpose. And he does in a very interesting way. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, for just as the body is one and has many members. Now, Paul did not invent the body metaphor. Plato talks about it centuries before Paul in the Republic. And the Romans were really important people in talking about the body politic. But it was a very hierarchical system, and the rulers, wanting to keep control of the slaves, had to remind the slaves that you may not like us, but unless you take care of us, in fact, the Romans called the slaves the stomachs. And they were the heads. That you were a citizen, you were a head. And the stomach, if it didn't eat, the head would die. And if the head dies, the stomach dies. So this wasn't new to Paul. But Paul's using this body politic example. But even more intriguing, I don't know, have any of you been to Corinth? It's in Greece. It's a fantastic archaeological site. And it has one of the absolute best archaeological museums around. And in one of the rooms, and you have to ask to see this, but fortunately I was with somebody who knew what they were looking for. He went up to the guide and said, we want to see the body part room. Now there was a temple of healing in Corinth. And if you had an ailment with your nose, or your ear, your heart, or other parts of the body, you would go to this temple with a terracotta votive offering in the shape of your body part. So you go into this room and scattered all over are body parts. So I don't think it's a coincidence that Paul is using a metaphor, an example that his original hearers understood. But friends, sometimes the church doesn't look like a functioning, thriving body. It looks like a bunch of body parts at war with each other, seriously diseased. And that's how it was at Corinth. So Paul, first of all, in verses 12 and 13, stresses unity. In other words, the body has to work together. Now, before we go on, an interesting thing. The word member. When I say the word member, you think of I'm a member of a club. Originally, it was a Christian word. And in the English language, it comes down to us in the Oxford English Dictionary is a member, the first definition, is to be part of a body. Now, somebody said, you know, the problem with union is becoming too much like a corporation. Where does the word corporation come from? Corpus, body. If you go to the Oxford English Dictionary, you're going to see incorporation means to bring the body parts together into something that works. Now, this summer I was in Canada at a conference, and Max Stackhouse from Princeton was telling a group of people about how modern corporations have taken their inspiration from biblical models of organization. And there was an uproar. But then he mentioned the work of David Miller, who teaches at the Yale Divinity School, but also the School of Management, who's done an amazing theological historical study that really the rise of the modern corporation is in part due to the Christian model of organization. An organism, not just an organization. And even the Labour Party in Great Britain borrowed from the Methodist Church their methods of doing business. Bowling alone or bowling together? A bunch of body parts not working together or the body working together? Now, we are a really diverse congregation. And if we wanted to get into a theological firefight, we could really easily. But I won't take a vote. But when you hear the phrase body of Christ, is it a metaphor? Is it a such as the church is like the body? Or is it the church is the body? Is it a metaphysical? Is it a reality? In a few minutes, we're going to take communion and we hear the words of Jesus, "This is my body." Is it, well, this is like my body, this represents my body, or is it my body? Now, regardless of where you are on that continuum, and there is a tension in any church, I think we can all agree that body is a really good way at looking at what we are supposed to be. Now we get back, sorry, with those several digressions. Verse 13, "For in the one Spirit we were all baptized." Stop here if we want to get into another theological fight. This is the only time the Apostle Paul mentions being baptized in the Spirit. Being baptized in the Spirit is only mentioned 6 times in Scriptures, 5 times by John the Baptist, who says, "I baptize water, but there is someone coming who's going to baptize with the Spirit." And then Paul is stressing the Spirit. We can have all sorts of fights about the Holy Spirit, and the evil one just laughs. But the Spirit has come not to divide us, but to make us one. Baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free. The big divides in the church, he said, they don't exist in the eyes of God. We are all made to drink of one Spirit. And again, if we wanted to have another theological debate, is he talking about communion? But what he's talking about more than anything else is the need for unity. But then he goes on to say that unity is not uniformity. Verse 14, "Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body.'" This may surprise you, but some people have inferiority complexes. Some people look around and say, "Oh, if I only had his power or gifts or money or talent, God could really use me." Some people have superiority complexes. And there were people in the church at Corinth who were not inferior. They were just absolutely indifferent. They thought they could do it alone. Now, an assignment. Look at the person next to you. Study them just for a second. Pretty good-looking people here, right? Now, look at them again, and look at them as if they were one big nose or ear or eye or toe. That's not a pleasant image, is it? And as Hannah read, Paul has a lot of fun with this. He said, hey, we are all different body parts. We are all different organs. And we can't all be the same. There's a unity, but that unity is expressed by an incredible diversity. Now, several weeks ago, Holly and I didn't even know what a gallbladder did. Holly has gallstones. Suddenly, she's concerned about that body part. My daughter Lindsay was on a ski trip in Switzerland and just destroyed her knee and had major surgery. And so if I were preaching several weeks ago, I'd just pass over this. But suddenly body parts are important, because as I talked to Lindsay on the phone, she said, "Dad, my knee hurts so much." And that's why the verse we all read together, when one part's not working, the whole body suffers. But when each part is working, some really wonderful things happen. There's unity, but there's also diversity. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. And you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Somebody asked why we don't have altar calls very often. Well, next week, one of my very favorite preachers in the world, Stuart Briscoe, is going to be preaching here. Do not miss Stuart Briscoe. What an amazing Bible teacher. But I don't want to have an altar call. Maybe we'll have Stuart have an altar call. But I'd like to have a communion call for a second. There are a tremendous number of people who attend Union week after week after week who are not members. And we think of members and like joining a club. But I've been here a year and a month, and I finally read the application to become a member of Union Church. It's pretty neat. And I would encourage you, as you leave, if you're not a member, to look at the application and maybe even fill it out. But look to page 2, which I thought was absolutely phenomenal. Responsibilities of a church member. To share in the witnessing and mission responsibility of our church family. Ultimately, the focus is not on the body. It's on Jesus, the head of the body. And ultimately, the church is here to share Jesus with the world. And that, in the words of Putnam, would be a bridging sort of thing. But you don't have bridging unless you have bonding. To share in the responsibility of our church family by discovering and using my spiritual gifts, ensuring that I am equipped to serve with a servant's heart, taking every opportunity to serve Jesus Christ. To worship God and support the testimony of the church family by faithfully attending worship services, living a godly lifestyle, etc., etc. I'm challenging some of you who are not members to think about becoming members. I'm challenging those of us who are members to think, what does it really mean not to be the member of a club, but to be the member of the body of Christ the way it is expressed at this time and place at Union Church. I asked some people who've been around, how long does it take for someone to join Union Church? And the answer was several years. And people hang out, get very involved, and most of the people we've welcomed in church membership since I've been here are Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, involved in a mission committee or something like that. My question is, why wait? I think sometimes we're part of this culture that says, hey, yeah, we want to bowl alone. We want all the joys of a church without any of the responsibilities. But again, as we approach communion, I encourage you to think, how can I, as an individual, fit into the bigger picture of what God is trying to do? And for some of us, it might be joining the church. For some of us, it might be reaffirming our vows. So as we prepare for communion, let's pray together. Father, we come to this table celebrating the unity that we have found in your Son, Jesus Christ, and marveling at the diversity of the people that you have gathered here. Father, speak into our hearts and help us to examine our lives. And Father, if there's an area in our life where we need helping in terms of bonding and bridging, bring it to our attention. Father, thank you for the privilege we have together to represent Jesus Christ to our community.
In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. One final